We left off at the top, towards the top of Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. So the Mishnah spoke about a case where a person made a get on condition, the condition being that she's going to deliver him this coat. The problem is the coat wasn't around anymore. The question is, can she just simply give him the value of the coat and consider that to be a fulfillment of the Tanai, thereby validating the get? Do we say no? Unless you literally give him the coat itself, the fact that you gave him money to buy another coat, that's not going to be considered to be a fulfillment of the Tanai. So the Gemara comments on this statement from Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel tells a story that this shot actually once happened in the city of Sidon. So let's pick it up on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. The first word line is Mashmalon. It's about the 8 lines from the top. All of a sudden, the Mishnah introduces the story of what happened in Sidon with the coat, which is not really the style of the Mishnah. Usually the Mishnah will, if it wants to recount the story, it will first present us what the issue was, what the machlokes was, the two opinions, and then the Mishnah will say, oh, by the way, here's a proof, because this is what happened 100 years ago in such and such a scenario. So here, the Mishnah just jumps right into the story, doesn't bother telling us that there was a machlokes. So what did the Mishnah mean? Diktani Maisa. So the answer to the Gemara Chasura Mechsur is a little bit of part of the Mishnah missing. We have to amend the Mishnah a little bit. Im amala amanash etitli etzalisi. The Mishnah, the new version of the Mishnah is telling us that if he actually says to her, this condition, give me my coat, that only then will the get be acceptable. The of the tzaliso, and the coat got lost. So it's the liso dafka kamala. According to the first view in the Mishnah, when he said the word itzlis, he meant the coat, and that's it. Give him $500 to buy a coat. That's very nice, but that's not what the condition was. And therefore, the get would not be valid. Rabbi Gamliel says, no, that is considered to be a fulfillment of the Tanai. Everybody knows that all he wants is a coat. So right after communion, whether she gives him a coat, he takes $500, orders it online, and he gets his coat. At the end of the day, he's going to get his coat. So the Amar Rabbi Gamliel now brings a proof to his theory. That in fact this story happened. Where a person said to his wife, with this exact condition, I raised the gita chabadash tiddly, it's leasing. Of the tzaliso, that he gave her a get of the condition to give him a coat. The coat got lost. But Amu Chacham, and in the previous generation, the Chacham Paskin, Tita Loz Dameha, that in fact it would be sufficient for her just to give the value of the coat. So now the Gemara goes on to speak about different other kinds of tanoim, other kinds of conditions, where the literal condition is not actually fulfilled, but it could be. It's almost like a difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law, but the spirit of the condition is fulfilled. I mean, basically what the person's intent was quite possibly fulfilled. Would that suffice or not? So it represents the following question. So, Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Asi, he asked Rabbi Yochanan the following question. Reuven says to Rachel, here's your get. He makes it conditional upon her giving him 200 zuz. Okay, we're not encouraging this, we're not advocating it, we're not condoning this, but the Gemara says what he did. So we gave her a get on the condition she's going to give him 200 zuz. And then he gives her the get, and now we're waiting to see pending when the condition is going to be fulfilled. 3 days later, he feels a little bit remorse, and he says, you know what, forget the 200 zuz. I'm moichel, I'm a vater of the tenai, the condition that I made. So now the question is, well, at the end of the day, she didn't fulfill the condition. She did not give him the 200 zuz. On the other hand, the only reason why she was supposed to give him the 200 zuz is because he's demanding the 200 zuz. And here, he forgot that condition. So the question is, here it's very similar to the case, not identical to the case of the coat, but it's similar to the case of the coat, that the literal letter of the condition wasn't really fulfilled. On the other hand, the spirit, the reason behind it was to give him the money to make him happy, and he's willing to forego that right to the money. So maybe the get would be good. So Ma, what's the deal? So says the Gemara, Tiboy Rabbanan Tiboy Rishimun Gamliel. This question can actually be posed either according to the Rabbanan or according to Rishimun Gamliel. So this is not, it's related, it's similar to the case of the coat, but not identical. So Tiboy Rabbanan, we can raise the question according to the Chachamim. Adkan lokam Rabban Hasam. Maybe in the case of the coat, the reason why the Rabbanan insisted that the get is not valid, El Tlo Achle Gabot. Because there, he was never meichel her, the condition. He made a condition to give him a coat. She shows up with $500 in cash and hands him the money and says, go buy yourself a coat. He was never meichel the conditions. Therefore, the Rabbanim said that even though he got the value, if you could buy a coat, but the condition wasn't fulfilled. Aval hach over here, the case where he explicitly is meichel the money that he was last week demanding of her, hacha amla mechumlach. Here he's meichel. So he's meichel, he's meichel. Old Dilma, or maybe the other way around. Afilu Rav Shimon Gamliel, maybe Rav Shimon Gamliel only was willing to accept the payment in lieu of the coat, because at least she's giving him something. But she's not giving him exactly what he originally had intended, but she's giving him the value. She's giving him cash. Whereas in this case, the condition that he met, that he set, was he was going to be up 200 zuz. In the end, he's not up 200 zuz. He's actually not up a penny because he was meichel the 200 zuz. So one can argue that the condition wasn't met at all. So here, it can really go almost either way. That this case is similar in the sense that the actual words of the condition were never really fulfilled, but there's some kind of a potential substitute of that condition. Whether or not substituting mechila for the 200 zuz, whether that's identical to substituting cash for the coat, so that's what the Gemara is not sure about. And the Gemara is not sure either way. So Amalei, so the response to the Shaila that was given, Rabbi Yochanan answered, Eina Begureshes. That in fact, the get is done. That just being meichel the chol that was created, it's very nice. It's very, very nice and noble of him to do that, but that's not really a fulfillment of the original tonight, and therefore the get would not be valid the way it was given. So Eisfes, now the Gemara is going to try to bring Raya's whether that's true. When I have to give you something and you turn around and mochel at you, you say, forget it, all right, Norman, it's okay. Does that really mean that I gave it to you? Is that the equivalent that I fulfilled the condition? But you say no. So here the Gemara is going to jump from sugyas outside of Maseches Gittin into areas of Maseches Nedarim to try to bring a proof one way or the other, whether the foregoing of a condition, is that considered to be the fulfillment of the condition proper? Eisvei. So if a person says to his friend, so Konim Shadanelli, he makes a neder. Konim is a lush of a neder. He's like we say, a konidre. So Konam, the Gemara has a machlekes to begin with Maseches Nedarim. What is the etymology of that word? Where did it even come from? It's a word that Chazal always used to describe a taking a vow to prohibit something on yourself. What in the world is the source for that word? The Gemara has a machlekes, whether that word is almost like a corrupted version of Lashon HaKodesh. It's like a slang word. It used to be the word like korban and korban, kodem. Over time, it was corrupted to sound like the word kodem. So somehow that became the standard word that people were using on the street. What do I say? No, that the Chachamim actually instituted to use this word to stay away from the word korban. Because if you say the word korban, so people tend to say korban laHashem. They tend to say it in one breath, korban for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they'll say Hashem's name. We'll be trying to keep people away from saying Hashem's name out of a significant context all that often. So whatever it is, the bottom line is the word korban is halachically the equivalent of making something into a korban in the sense you can't be nana from it, you cannot benefit from it anymore. So the guy got angry at his friend and he says, korban shetanelli, whatever hana you would get from me should be like a korban. So, but he makes that neder conditional. Like, the guy can make whatever korban he wants, whatever condition he wants. It's his hanah, so he can make whatever he chooses. So he made a neder on the condition. We said that I'm very angry at you, and I'm going to not let you derive any benefit. You can't come to the house, can't eat my food, you can't enjoy anything from me. It's off limits to you. Unless you turn off a new leaf, you start to be a nice guy to me, and that's going to be expressed. But if you give my son a korechet shochitim, you bring him some grain and two barrels of wine, again I cannot comment about how much money the korech shochitim shechav shoyayin were worth, but it sounds like it was something that was significant. So the fellow says, listen, I can't stand you, I'm getting into a fight with you, I don't want to have anything to do with you, you can't come into my house, you can't eat my food, but if you give my son X amount, you try to make amends to me, then the nether will be canceled. So now the question is, what has to take place in order for that nether to in a sense, no longer take hold? So Rabbi Meir Omer Osra Chitim. Rabbi Meir says there's no way to get out of that nether unless the other guy actually comes through with the literal letter of the law, letter of the condition, and comes up with a Korecha Shachitim, comes up with Shecha Vishoyayin. Then and only then will the nether be revoked because the person made the nether conditional. This neder can be removed even without going to a chacham. Now, going to a chacham, what we call a taras nedarim. The Gemara tells us the other mesechus nedarim, there was a halacha mashu b'Sinai, that if a person takes a neder and they want to cancel that neder, they want to come forward and say they didn't really mean it, they feel bad about it, all the lashonos that we use in a taras nedarim. So there was a special tradition. We have a halacha mashu b'Sinai, you can do that. Either if you go to a chacham, you have to go to one great chacham. Or if you can't find one great Tamil Chacham, we go to three regular people. Our custom has been for quite some time, we don't go to one Tamil Chacham. We're weary to say that we have people who are fit to be Matan and Darbi Yachid. So we always take the second route. We go down, just go to three regular guys. That's what we do. We do an Erfa Shana, a little bit of a shaky at the Darb. But a person who has a real Neder to be Matan would go to a Beis Din Bizman Azel. So the old days, we go to a Chacham Echad. So come the Chacham and say that this fellow who made this neder conditional can actually be matter the neder, doesn't even have to bother going to the chacham, because the neder could just be bottled by itself in the following. All he could say is that I made a neder on the condition that the guy's going to give my son grain and wine. I'm a kabbalah. It's as if he gave it to me. So I'm meichel on the condition. So the Mishnah says, good. So it's all right. You're meichel on the condition. So it's ki'ilu ki'is kabalti. It's as if he gave the grain. So comes the Gemara and says, oh, this sounds like a shayla. And made a condition. And the condition wasn't really fulfilled. But I was mevater. I was meichel. I forgave the terms of the deal. So in Hilchos Nedarim, the Chacham said that that's okay. And in Hilchos Gittin, so Rabbi Yechon said it's no good. Was, that's the problem. How do you resolve those two? He was says, no, it's totally different. So it's Hachi Ashta. They're not the same. Also, Mitziura Ko Bechavein, Velo Tziura, Hacham Mishimar Vacho, Vahalo Itzterech. And in the case of Gittin, why did he make that condition that he's giving her a get on the condition she gives him 200 zuz? Because he's trying to spite her. He's trying to be mean. That's trying to blackmail. That's the bottom line. So clearly his intent was to make her miserable. And again, he's not the biggest tzaddik in the world. Far from it. But his goal, his mindset, his condition was to make her upset. So the fact that he turns around with a big smile an hour later says, "Ech moichel zayin." He didn't accomplish what he tried to accomplish. So if the original goal of the condition was to make her come up with the money, not just to be a nice guy an hour later, so the mice said, again, wasn't fulfilled properly. Whereas over here, this guy's goal was, he wants to get a couple of dollars out of this for his son. He's upset at this guy. And the guy didn't do him a favor last week, so he's angry at the guy. He wants to make him be nice and bring some money, bring some grain and wine to his kids. But at the end of the day, he says he doesn't need it, so he doesn't need it. So the condition, even though it wasn't literally fulfilled, but that doesn't bother us because at the end of the day, the spirit of the condition was still suffices. So now the Gemara tells us another fascinating kind of a story that came out, which was similar, which played out, which was similar to some of these questions. How gavra the amle la'arise? A person hired a sharecropper. Hosugis, the ninth parak of Amitziah, is dedicated to these kinds of deals. It was very common in the olden days. I owned the land, and I wasn't particularly interested in working on the land too much. So I hired a guy to work on the land, and rather than paying him a salary, so his salary was, he would get X amount, but he would get percentage of what the grain was. So he'd work the whole season, and would come up with 10,000 bushels, so he'd walk away with 2,000, 3,000, whatever the number was that we set up. So here I set up this deal of being an orist for this fellow. So kuli alma dolu plas talvasa achle river. So the general practice in those days in that particular location was that the sharecroppers would have to water the field three times. There were three different intervals of the season. They would have to work hard to make sure that all the fields were irrigated. Achle river, and then the standard practice was that they would benefit. They would get a quarter. They would get 25% of the crop. So those are the two parts of the deal. They'd have to work X amount of times, one of the fields three times, and they would get a quarter of the shares. But now I want this guy to do a better job. Three times, maybe he'll do the trick, but if you water in the field four times, it'll produce even better fruit. So I say to the guy, listen, I'm Dolly Arba. So let's make the following deal. Two businesses, we can do whatever we want. So we enter into the following agreement. I'm insisting that you water the field four times, and you will get a third of the crop. So you're going to get a raise. You're going to get a little bit more than the standard because you're going to work harder. L'sof asa mitra. So what happened in the end was he did the first three times like he was supposed to, and then he's getting ready to come the next day to start watering the next time. Lo and behold, it rained that night. It rained. Kadosh Baruch Hu did the job. He comes to the, it's not like the water anymore. So now the shaila is, should he get reimbursed for the extra quote unquote job or not? So on the one hand, the other guy got very, very nice crop. He got four waterings, three done by the Aris, one done by the Rebbeinu Shlomo. So on the one hand, the person got what he wanted. On the other hand, the other guy was sleeping. The other guy went on vacation today. He didn't have to do anything. So can we really have to pay him to get reimbursed for that extra dime? He didn't really fulfill, quote unquote, what he was supposed to do. So what's the deal? So the Sama Sabitra Amr Rav Yosef, Halal Dola. So Rav Yosef said he didn't do it. At the end of the day, he didn't do the watering. So I don't care why he didn't do the watering, whether because he overslept or because it rained. He didn't do what his job was, and therefore he's not going to get the extra amount. He'll get the base salary. He's not going to get the bonus. Rabba Amar, Halowitz Tariqa. Rabba said, what do you mean? He said, but at the end of the day, he's presenting to you a beautifully, perfectly four-time irrigated field. Three by myself and one. I can tell you, I said, staying down multiple enough times that they got the rain to come. So, at the end of the day, I'm presenting you a beautiful field with four irrigations to it. So what's the din? So Leib Rabbi Yosef, the Amakir Rabbana, the Rabba, the Amakir Shimon Gamliel. So maybe this machloikis between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef is really the age-old machloikis between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbana. Why is that? Because Rabbi is saying that in the end, you even though the literal condition wasn't fulfilled, but you gained what you wanted to gain. You wanted four irrigations, which means you got three plus one. So that's similar to what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is saying, is that you made a condition to get a coat. You got a coat. You didn't get the coat directly. You got $500 to go to the store and buy yourself a coat. But at the end of the day, the even though the literal condition wasn't fulfilled, the goal of the condition was in fact fulfilled. Whereas Rabbi Yosef is saying, no. Rabbi Yosef is reading the fine. He's the lawyer. He's reading the fine print that you didn't do exactly what state in clause 16A, B, C, that you didn't do what you had to do. You're not going to get the extra payment, which is exactly what the Rabbanan said. You didn't get the coat. And you gave $1,000, but you didn't give the coat. You didn't fulfill what the condition was. The Gemara says, man, it doesn't sound right. That's really an identical machlokes for Tisbara. Does that really make sense? That's the same issue. But Kaima and Uchzuk of a say to Rabba, we paskin like Rabba. Generally speaking, Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, just about always we paskin like Rabba. He says there are three exceptions to that rule, but generally we paskin like a Rabba. Whereas in this case, this is actually, we do not follow Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The Gemara says a little bit later on that 99% of the time when Rabbi Shimon Gamliel had some achlaikis with the other Tanaim in the Mishnah, halacha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, chutz b'shalosh, except for three cases. And this, believe it or not, is one of those three cases. So says the Gemara that if we have a tradition that we follow Rabba, and we have a similar tradition that we don't follow Shimon Gamliel, if you want to tell me a story that the two issues are dependent one upon the other, that's not going to bode well for these two piskei halacha. So the Gemara says, no. El yoylam ki Rabbanan. We follow the Rabbanan, namely the case of the coat and the get and the tanai. Just giving cash is not going to do the trick. But afal b'cheid, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef had a machlok, yes? Rabbi Yosef ki Rabbanan. So Rabbi Yosef is following the Rabbanan, the literalist, that you have to do the tanai, you don't do the tanai. So it wasn't fulfilled, the get's no good. You didn't fulfill your stipulation to water the field the fourth time, you're not going to get paid the extra money. For Rabbi will say, Ana b'yamer fil the Rabbanan. That Rabbi will say, no, even by the Rabbanan, by the coats and the get, I'm still valid what I'm saying. Ad kalakam Rabbanan ha'asam. When do the Rabbanan say that the get is no good? El dilat ziyura kam chavit. Because he's trying to cause our pain. In the end, he didn't cause any pain. Aval ha'acha, mishum ha'avachu, ha'alutzich, over here, he's not mad at the Aris. I couldn't care less. Balabas wants one thing. He wants four waterings of his field. Zehakol. Lo echpaklo, whether three were done by the Balabas and by the Aris and one was done by the Rebbe Shalom. Machpaklo. He's got the four waterings. He's got a better crop and then shown by Israel. So the two issues are not necessarily dependent one upon the other. So now the Gemara switches over to a similar kind of a question also, where certain conditions are made. And the conditions aren't quite fulfilled for various reasons. At what point do we say that we can kind of like look the other way and say, well, it's okay, even though the little condition wasn't fulfilled? Or at what point do we say that there's no excuses whatsoever. If those words aren't fulfilled, the get's not going to be valid. So the Gemara digresses for a moment before we get to this part of the sugya. The Gemara introduces it with a mishnah that appears in Maseches Erechin, which at first glance has nothing at all to do with Yedim, and eventually the Gemara is going to circle back to that sugya. So it's not awesome. So we learned in a mishnah in Maseches Erechin. The mishnah is referring to a din that appears in Parshas Bahar. If a person sells a house in a walled city, back in the days when Yovel applied, so the Torah says that if you were forced, you didn't have any money, and you ended up selling your house in a walled city, yamim tiyegulaso. So for 1 year, the Torah gives you the right to redeem that house. You could force the buyer to actually sell it back to you. You just come with the cash, come back the money, and you could force the person with the yamim tiyegulaso. But if a year passed, but if a whole year passed and I didn't take the opportunity to redeem it, then the game's over. If the guy wants to be a nice guy in 10 years from now and sell back to me, that's very nice of him, but he doesn't have to. I don't have that special zchus of geula. So there are a whole series of different sugyas that appear in the end of Parshas Bahar, the zchus of geula, that privilege that Torah says, even though I sold something, I can backpedal, I can buy it back, I can redeem it back. There are dinim of geulas sados, and dinim of geulas batim, and dinim of geulas avodim. A whole series of different sugyas of geula. So this dinim of geula is dependent upon 1 year. The Ramban writes in his Parashat Chumash, Parashat Bahar, why does the Torah give the shear of 1 year? Because we know stam shicha yid beis chodesh. That people tend to think things for a year. For a year, memories are very fresh. People remember things from 20 years also, but the memories are not as fresh. So for the first year, it's much closer to people's minds. So here, a year passes and the guy didn't buy back the house. It shows the house doesn't mean so much of it anymore. He's just yash from the house. He already forgot about his house. Within the first year, he's still thinking about the house, and the Torah gives him a special schos. Yeah, for a year, it's all Zion, it's over already. So the Chassam Sefer writes in the Tshuva, he says, it's that Ramban that's the source for Parsha Zohar once a year. Why do they Parsha once a year? The Torah says, to remember Ramolik. Remember Ramolik every 3 months, every 40 years. Why high a year? So the Chassam Sefer says, it's based on that pasuk, based on that Ramban. The Torah says that for a year, that's what people's Shir Shicha Yibis Chaydish is. So come. So yeah, that's the steering subsurface. If you have a shanu beres, you have 13 months. So there are some more makpah that you have to, when you lay pashki seitz, you have to have in mind the yet special zacher. Anyway, back to the story. So Thomas, we looked at the missionary him. So barishono yinitva yom shemes achodesh day shechalut lo. So what used to happen is as follows: say Reuben would sell his house in the walled city, and he didn't have money right away, but he knew he's. He's looking at his calendar. He knows he's got a few months to scrounge around to try to redeem back the house. So he's waiting. It's 6 months, 8 months, 10 months. He's still got plenty of time. The day marked on his calendar. He knows that he sold it on Gimel Nisan. So he knows he's going to be back. He's going to be knocking at the guy's door. Right at the end, the last day of the 12 months. So what does the person who bought the house know? The guy who bought the house knows that. Listen, if I could just stay away for 24 hours, and he won't find me, so then, sorry, below slow shot of the year has passed, and now you can't force me anymore. So the guy would disappear. So that was what the guys would do. He would run away, he would disappear, as long as he knew that if he could just make it to the last day, so it's good. So the whole year, he knew the guy just got a couple of money. People procrastinate. Nobody pays the tax sometimes. So it's on April 15th, the last second, so all of a sudden, the cone is nowhere to be found. Kadesh Yechalot Lo. He would do this so that the house would be Chalot Kulum. It would become his for permanently. So Hillel saw that this wasn't right. His kid Hillel Azokin made it Takona. She ate Chalishas Ma'osav Lodishka. He Shavis Adelas V'nichnas. Hillel said that if you can't find the person who bought the house, no problem. Just take the money. Please bring the money to the Lishka. Bring it to the special place where they set aside an amazing. They set aside a special room for the money to be delivered. And then you're allowed to go back in the house. The door's locked. So break the door down. It's your house now. You bought back the house. You have a right to do geula even against the other guy's will. The guy doesn't even know about it. The guy's out of town. He's playing a game and he went on vacation for a week, knowing that you're going to come the last days. No problem. Just bring the money to Beis Din, put it down. And then if you can't get in, you can break the door down. When the guy shows up after his vacation, thinking that he tricked the system, so he'll be very surprised to find that the other guy broke down his door, is living in his house, and if he wants to collect his cash from the basement, let him come and collect his cash. So Amar Rav. So Rav said, "Mitakanasa shel Hillel." From the Takan of Hillel, we could derive the following. Nishma, let us learn the following. Harayze gitech abanah shetitili masayim zuz. So a person gives a get to his wife on the condition that she's going to give him 200 zuz. V'nastalo, and she gives him the money. She not fulfills the condition. Midaita migureshes. If he accepts the money, so then she is migureshes. Then the tenai was fulfilled. Al korcho ain't a migureshes. But what if she shoves the money at him? He says, "I don't want it. I don't want it." He doesn't want the get to take effect. He's yelling and screaming that he doesn't want to accept the money. So ain't a migureshes. That's not called the nesina hatenai. It's not called a kima tenai. How do we see this from Hillel? With the itzruch leila Hillel to kune nesina bechorcho the havel nesina. Hillel had to make a special takon, a special hefke beis and hefke. He had to invoke special extra legal powers in order to let this quote unquote condition, to let this practice to play out, that you're going to give money back. The guy's yelling and screaming, he doesn't want his money back. And tough, says Hillel. So the fact that Hillel had to make that takona, it sounds like that this is unique over here because of the takona. That just giving money against somebody's will, that does not qualify as a nesina. So that in other areas of Allah, that wouldn't suffice. And therefore the condition was never fulfilled. The condition was, you know why lo nos alone? Because lo kibel, since he didn't accept it. So that's not called her giving it. The Maskner Rapapa. So Rapapa says, no, not so simple. So the Itema Rav Sir Barashi, or some say Rav Sir Barashi asked the question. Maybe Hillel had to make the takana because the money's not even being given to him. The money's being put down in a basin, being put down in the lishka somewhere. About befana, but if you actually hand the person, you shove it down the guy's throat, the money, maybe that would in fact be a nesina. So the case of Hillel is not parallel to this case. The case of Hillel, the guy wasn't even around. That's why you needed a special takana of Hillel. So the Ikad Yamri, there are those who say that the back and forth was slightly different. Amar Rava, Mitakanasha Hill, I raised the Gita, but I still need to say, Rava said, forget, from the story of Hillel, from the kind of Hillel, we could derive that a Nesina against your will is called a Nesina. Hillel had to make it a Kona, Shaloi Befanov, above Befanov, maybe that would be called a Nesina. So in fact, that would be good. So Maskel or Papa, Rav Simi Rashi, going to the second version of the discussion, Rav Papa, Rav Simi, asked the question, V'dilmi afil b'fanav, namidai tuna kochalo, v'lumad itzuch le'talkin. He said, how do you know? Maybe Hillel was talking about a case. It could be that either case is no good. We're not sure what the din would be if you push money down somebody's throat, and is that called in the scene, is that not called in the scene? It's hard to be medayek from what Hillel did. So the bottom line is, we're not sure how this plays out in terms of how the Hillel Takana plays out in terms of Asuya. Is this indicative that a Nesina against your will is a Nesina, or perhaps not a Nesina? Next time, we'll continue from this. Just this Thursday, I'm going to be out of town on Thursday and Friday, so we won't have Shia this week, but hopefully tomorrow.